Jesus is the revelation of who God is. And so one of the things we learn over and over again, and we've picked up on this a lot during Lent and Good Friday, he is the one who dies. God is the great dyer. And we've said here so often that in the Trinity, each of the three persons is dying for the other two. In other words, giving himself unreservedly, completely, all the way to the death. Nothing held back. And receiving that same gift from the other two. This is who God is. And so Jesus shows that in a human body, what that looks like to be a dyer. Someone who lives for the other instead of oneself. But Jesus also reveals in his resurrection that there's something else about God, that is not just dying, that dying is to live. That the only way to really live is to die. The only way to be eternal is to die. Self-concern is death. And since there is no self-concern in God, God lives forever. So Jesus reveals to us in his death and in his resurrection who God is, the eternal one, the great dyer, the great lover, and the great receiver of love. But Jesus also reveals us to ourselves. He reveals to us that if we are made in God's image, and if we are members of Christ's body, baptized into his death, and St. Paul in that second reading suggests that our lives are hidden in his, that somehow we don't really have any meaning outside of his life. So if we're baptized into his death, and that being members of his body means learning how to die gracefully, learning how to be for the other, that reveals to us what humanity is, created in God's image. And if humanity is about dying, then it's also about living, because God is not just about dying, God is also about living. So each of us has to discover in our own way how it is that death leads to life. They're two sides of the same coin. Death and life, they're right together. And you get to one through the other. Now, liturgically, we celebrate that here in church every Sunday, the Paschal Mystery, and we sign ourselves in that baptismal water, and Easter is the great Sunday that's all about baptism. And last night we baptized some new members of the church. But every time we come in here, we sign ourselves, we renew that baptismal covenant at the font, which leads us to the altar, which is the meal of the kingdom. You don't get to the altar without going through the font. You don't get to the resurrection without going through the death. So we believe in eternal life. We believe that if we can learn how to be selfless like Christ, we will live forever. But that's not just in the distant future, the forever. It's also here and now. And one of the ways we learn that is in the here and now. Because this isn't just an abstract concept we're trying to memorize and believe in. We live this. Everybody here has lost someone, has lost something, has failed at something. Students fail tests sometimes. They fail courses. People lose their jobs. People get transferred and have to pick up and move to another state. People get deployed. There's all kinds of loss in this room. Everybody here has experienced something. Children lose their parents. Sometimes parents lose their children. And so you crash. You die. Now, there are two kinds of dying, two kinds of crashing. One is voluntary, like the things we give up for Lent. But there's all those involuntary sufferings and deaths that life just throws at us, the unfairness of life. It isn't fair that this happened to me. Where's the justice here? Where's the meaning in this suffering? And the thing that's so hard about suffering is precisely that most of the time it's meaningless. If we could find the answer, if we could find the meaning, it wouldn't be so hard to go through. But you crash, you fall. And when you are really down on rock bottom, when you have nothing left but your faith, nothing left but God, that's when you discover who you really are. That's when you can't pretend anymore about what you think you should be. You just are. That's when your defenses have completely crashed on you and you can't make up any excuses. You can't make up any reasons. It just is. And that's when you discover that the best thing that you can give to the honor and glory of God is not the perfection of your prayers or the boxes that you stayed inside of or the rules that you followed. It's just you. And how comforting that is to know that in the midst of my failure, God loves me for who I am. Again, Jesus shows us in a human body what that looks like. As he hangs upon the cross, even Jesus cries out, my God, why have you abandoned me? Even Jesus felt the abandonment of the Father. That's a scandal. How could he say that? He was God's son. But in his humanness, he experienced the same things we experience. But it's at the very moment that he cries out in abandonment and gives over his spirit. That is his glory. That is the way that he glorifies the Father. And that's the way that the Father glorifies him. The death and the resurrection happen at the same instant. Now, we celebrate it having happened 3 days later, but that's more of a metaphor than the death and resurrection, they're the same thing. And our deaths and our resurrections are the same thing. Our darkest hours are our best hours. Our bare bones self is us at our best. That's the way we glorify God, by giving over our spirit. In many ways, that's what Easter Sunday is about. It's about looking deeply into our own life experiences and recognizing that God is always there for us, even when it doesn't feel like it. Even when we feel the abandonment of God, that is the very moment where God is most powerfully with us.